Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near Eufaula, all my folks down in South Georgia. How is it going? This is another Sunday with Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversation. I hope everything is going well. Y'all, this is the fifth Sunday of the month. So we are about to transition from September to October. My mother's birthday is coming up October the 3rd. Happy birthday, Mom. Love you so much. You probably won't even hear this unless you're in town. But in case you are, you heard it. Also want to say we're moving into that last quarter of the year. And we talked about that October, November, December. You're an entrepreneur. You got a small business. You work for a big corporate business. This is the grind quarter. This is where we just go all in to meet those end of fiscal year numbers and to take things to the next level. We're going to have a good conversation today. I tell you, this guy here that I have here today, he's a great friend of mine. He's always supportive. Every time I'm doing something, he's there. Whenever there's the community event and I show up, I see him there. He cares about this community so much. And you hear him quite a bit on the radio yourself. But I tell you, I don't know if you guys get to hear much of his opinion. But today we're going to listen to this brother. We're going to have a good conversation. And I'm excited to have with us today my good friend, George McDonald. Y'all may know him as G-Smooth. How you doing, G-Smooth?
The G-Smooth Experience. What's going on, Teddy?
G-Smooth Experience is on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I tell you, you know, he's an Omega. I'm an Alpha. You know, we bonded by the go. You
D-9
know what I'm saying?
Love.
So it's all good. It's all good, my brother. Hey, man, I just want to say, one, that you are a talented brother. You're a brother, man, and God has truly blessed you, and you know, and I listen to you on the radio when I'm at home sometimes just doing some work, and I'm in there by myself, and I've gotten Catherine to sleep, and I just rock away with you, Doc, while I'm in there doing my work, you know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that, man. That's the goal, to be the best that I am, or to be the best that I can be, and just give. When people forget that when you're in positions like this, man, you're a servant.
Absolutely.
And so I never forget that I'm serving an audience, and I always thank them. I say thank you for listening, because they could be going somewhere else. They could listen to somebody else. They don't have to listen to me.
That's right.
So I'm thankful, I'm humble, and honored to be in a position where people listen to me every night.
How many years have you been in radio, G-Smooth?
This is 2018. I've been in radio professionally 17 years now.
17 years you have been in the radio
industry. I started young, yes.
Well, maybe that's why, you know, to me, you're just so awesome with how you do what you do, because you got the experience, you know?
Yeah.
You got that behind you. Now, let's talk a little bit about community here. G-Smooth, we have had some course of events this past week in Columbus that have truly caused us to take a moment,
yes,
to stop in our tracks and just reflect on what is going on in our community. We're going to talk about the different incidents, but of course we had Destiny Virgin.
Oh, man.
Beautiful 18-year-old young lady.
Such an unfortunate situation.
Ruthlessly gunned down. According to witnesses, ruthlessly just gunned down on Macon Road.
In broad daylight.
Like, you know, like this is some Wild Wild West type situation. You know, like, we're not a civilized society. Like, her life didn't matter. You know, and George, when we get back to this, I want to really talk about this, because one thing I get tired of hearing people say when they want to throw something at us as black people is that, you know, when it's black on black crime, y'all not outraged, but you let a white officer kill a black man and everybody want to get out and march. So we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
The second thing, George, the second thing, G-Smooth, you know, was a 92-year-old elderly individual that probably, you know, nice, from what I'm hearing,
yes,
very nice person.
Yes.
Would give their all, stabbed to death in their own home.
And this isn't the first incident of that.
In our community. And now, you know, this week as well, there are headlines that, you know, police officers are in search of a pastor that's being alleged molested some young folks. So this has been a tough week for us.
We're about to go there.
I know people don't like to have real conversations about these subjects, but I got the right person with me today.
Cause
we're about to lift the lid off this can.
Oh yeah, let's go ahead and open this can of worms.
Where do you want to go first?
Let's talk about this pastor first.
What disturbed me the most about this, George, about the report that I read, is that as a nation, we're already trying to deal with the fact that so many Catholic priests have been out here molesting our young people in these churches for so long. And now we had this to hit locally. But, you know, we had a story similar to this less than a year ago.
Yes, absolutely. And you know something? Let's just dive into it, man. This is a community issue.
Uh-huh.
And until we as a community start looking at ourselves in the mirror and start taking responsibility and accountability for the things that we do, we will always be victims. We will always be victimized. We can put an end to things.
Accountable for our own people.
Like, because I'm going to tell you honestly.
I get what you're saying. We know who's selling drugs. We know who's out here gang banging. We know who's out here doing the shooting. You know, we know these things.
Because people are quote unquote holier than thou. They're holier than thou, and then they don't want the responsibility of changing themselves. The first thing that people say, they want to go to the Bible and say, oh, well, judge not lest thou be judged. But they never want to go to Psalms chapter 82, where it says God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Mm. How long will ye judge unjustly and mm-hmm. accept the persons of the wicked?
Mm-hmm.
Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy.
Mm-hmm.
Deliver them from the hand of evil. So here's my issue.
Uh-huh.
Everybody that claim they want to be in the church, man, you can't be so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good. You got so many people out here talking it and nobody living it. Nobody wants to say, no one's perfect.
Right.
The point of being, of speaking up and pointing out another person's flaws should not be to judge them, but to pull their coattail to where they may be slipping. And I would want someone to do the same for me, to keep me. We are accountable for each other.
That's right.
First response you hear when somebody says, man, I don't think that that is right, or I don't think that they should be doing that, well, you can't talk because you are you do the same thing. You have a problem with this. Yes, I can talk, and I would hope that you would talk to me out of love and not judgment.
Right.
We don't love our community enough, just plain and simple. We don't love our people enough.
You talked a little bit, you quoted some Bible scriptures there, and you talked about the church. I remember during the State of Black Columbus, Toya Tucker, former mm-hmm. School board candidate, and someone who's very involved with the community, she said that we need the church to come outside of those four walls, and that's what the church was designed to do, to administer, you know, God's words in the community.
Absolutely.
What's your assessment on that?
I think that that is extremely accurate. Some of my very good friends are ministers in this community, and they will tell you that I do not hold punches when I talk about
some of your frat brothers.
Some of my fraternity brothers, yes.
That's right.
I don't hold punches when it comes to talking about what needs to be talked about in mm-hmm. this community and then putting forth a plan of action. See, what I've seen from churches, and I'm not just beating up on churches, so I don't want anybody to say, oh, man, you're always beating on the church. No. But you take a very important, you play a very important role in this community. As a church, you are the spiritual guide, the moral compass, the measuring stick, the standard by which everything else is measured in our community. Mm-hmm. You cannot remain silent. You should be at the forefront.
To a lot of folks, the church is where the resources are.
Well, I hear this. Let me say this.
And not just financial resources. That's where the local attorney attends. That's where the local doctor is. That's where educators are. You know, that's where a lot of different people can come together and be of significant impact to the local surrounding community.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, nobody wants to say anything. Now, this pastor, there have been pastors in the past. I'm not going to say any names, but I'm going to imply some things. I've seen pastors caught up in scandals on a larger scale of molesting young boys in the black community. I think we all know who we're talking about. And I know pastors who were in that particular church. And they said, you know, after it all came out, they told me, well, man, you know, we all knew something wasn't right. That's why a lot of us left. But why didn't you say something?
Why didn't you say something?
And then you have people, this is the real crazy part about it. You have people in the community who want to sit up and say, well, he may have did this, but he's still a man of God. No, he's not.
Wow.
If somebody proves himself to not be that, you need to drop him and keep moving. Let him deal with what he has to deal with.
And it seems like we use that line when it's convenient. We see a lot of white evangelicals using that line right now to defend Donald Trump, you know, and providing their support through supposedly Christian means. You can't support somebody like that and still consider yourself a Christian.
No, not at all.
Because it's not godly
but,
at all.
Well, the Ku Klux Klan is a Christian organization.
Well, they say they are, but
I'm just saying there's a lot of things that are done under the flag of Christianity.
I mean, I thought I heard Charles Barkley one time say he was better than Jordan, but we all know better than that.
The point of it is to deal with what is. And we are a community that likes to, we want to sugarcoat things. We want to not address what needs addressing and divert. And don't want to give a name. As a black community, think about it. We don't talk about mental health. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about molestation. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things, you know, that we don't talk about in our community. We told, don't you take this stuff out in the street. Don't you have our business. Right. It's pride. But there's always a fall after pride.
Right.
Our community is falling because we've been prideful for nothing. And we don't deal with the situation at hand. Until we put a name on it and talk about it and bring it out in the open, we cannot deal with it. That's why we have so many issues that that continue to fester.
And total fairness, I do want to put this out there that everyone is in our legal system is presumed innocent until proven guilty. Everyone is presumed innocent until proven guilty. Just looking at the facts of the situation, there's still allegations that are made, and there's still individuals that have said, you know, this happened to me, and there's evidence that support that. Let's talk about the stabbing death of the elderly individual. I don't want to put their name out there like that because they haven't done that much with it publicly. And three elderly people in the house.
Yes.
And a guy comes in and proceeds to stab all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them die. That's what you understand too, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I shake my head, man, because our community, you have to take care of your elderly. You have to take care of your children. It's the grown-ups, the adults' job to take care of both of them. I'm so at a loss for words.
Me too. Because I'm thinking about my grandmother who is 84. And I'm thinking about all that my grandmother has gone through. I'm thinking about my grandmother raising 9 children by herself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about my grandmother never owning a car, never having a driver license. I'm thinking about my grandmother living 18 miles away from her job, and on some mornings when she didn't have a ride, having to walk to work. You know, I'm thinking about all the sacrifices that she made so that her children could do the things that they needed to do. Not only was she a grandmother, but she was a cook, she was a babysitter, she was a nurse, she was a doctor, she was everything we needed her to be.
And this is how she gets repaid. You know, how people of that age group and people who have that type of service under their belt are repaid.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, my parents' house was broken into over on the east side of Columbus. Somebody came through the back window of their house, thinking that no one was there, my dad was there. And so they darted back out of the window. But, you know, it frightened me because think about if my mother was there, if it was somebody who had a different agenda.
Right.
My parents are in their 60s.
Wow.
You know, so this is a very personal thing for me. And that's why, you know, I kind of got caught up in thinking about it because I'm thinking about my parents living their life and giving what they can to the community, helping the kids in the community, giving them a sense of responsibility. And you decide you're going to come into their house and take what you want. Now, they weren't able to take anything. But the idea, there's no respect. There's no thought process that maybe I shouldn't do this to these people.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, at some point, G Smooth, a conscious decision had to be made that I am going to go in this house that I know do not belong to me. I am going to force the back window up. I can't even go through the door because this is not my house. I don't have a key. Mm-hmm. The door is not open. I'm going to go through the window. There's too many levels of intentional bad actions for anyone to try to have any sympathy for a person that finds themselves in that situation. That's why when I look at, you know, news coverage where someone's broken into somebody's house and they happen to meet them right there with some hot lead, I have no sympathy for the person who got shot. Why?
You know what really scares me?
House?
You know what really scares me? I think back to a couple days after New Year's 2016 and the horrendous triple murder that happened in Upatoy.
Yes.
It frightens me. And
Gloria Short and her family.
Oh, my gosh.
God rest their soul and that beautiful little girl.
Oh, man. You know, I tell.
What these kids went through. You were at that community meeting and I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter was talking.
Yeah.
And her daughter said that those kids took hours to
rode a bike over there.
They rode a bike. And then they would swap, like one would ride another one so far, and then he would put them off and then drive back on the bicycle, go get the other one, and bring him to the point to where he dropped the first one off, and then pick the first one up again and take him about a mile and a half down the road, then come back. That was a long operation to go from, what she said, Bunker Hill?
Bunker Hill to Upatoy.
To Upatoy?
How am I, as a tax-paying, law-abiding citizen, supposed to have any sympathy or mercy on someone coming in my house? Can I get really real with you?
I mean, let's go, because you know, man, I'm sitting here thinking about this and I'm thinking about what they did to that little girl and what they did to Miss Short, Miss Gloria Short. They didn't deserve that, man.
They didn't deserve
they didn't
it at
deserve
all.
That. And who, you know, it will even be hard for some authors to even write that kind of script.
In fiction. For it to actually happen is unthinkable. I'm going to tell you something, man. People that know me, I talk about it freely. I talk about it openly. I have a Georgia weapons carry and conceal permit because I carry weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a law-abiding citizen. I had my truck broken into not too long ago, about a year ago, and they stole one of my weapons. I just got a call 2 days ago from the Columbus Police Department. They recovered my weapon. These three young men were stopped, and apparently the officer smelled marijuana, or what he thought was marijuana, made them get out, found the weapon, and pinged the serial number, and it came up as mine, as the one that I reported stolen. These kids, and I love them, because you know what people don't know about me is that I've been an educator for 12 years as well. I didn't teach this year, but I was teaching last year in Phoenix City. And I love these kids, but I see something that was not there when I was a student. And I'll tell you what it is lack of parenting. whether it's a socioeconomic issue, whether it's a I don't care issue, maybe their parents were too young to have them and don't know how to be parents, or they're trying to be friends with them. There was a saying told to me when I got into education 12 years ago. They said that there are no bad kids. There's only bad parents. And again, this is something that we need to examine, because
bad or missing parents.
What happened? That's still bad parenting.
Know? Yeah.
The absence of parenting is still a bad thing, because the results of it are bad.
Right.
And I have talked to parents that do not understand that our system is criminalizing their child. Anytime you criminalize normal teenage behavior, you're conditioning them to be institutionalized.
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they happen in our schools. It's called the school-to-prison pipeline.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you give kids free rein to decide, no, you give them options and let them choose the best option under your supervision, but you don't just give them free rein. They're children. They don't understand the long-term effects of the decisions that they make now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a true lack of parenting. You can't blame a child, because it's the parent's job to guide a child.
Absolutely.
So when the old folks get up here and talk about, oh, these kids ain't nothing, these kids, this generation, you need to examine yourself. You need to look at yourself in the mirror and say, what did I do to help them?
Mm-hmm.
What did I do? How did I get out there and try to show them something? Because you can't expect somebody coming here with no knowledge to be able to guide themselves.
Out of sight, out of mind, George.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind. And I'm so glad your gun was recovered, because too often we have law enforcement calling with a different story.
Saying, and I,
hey,
man,
your gun was used in the commission of a crime.
My heart dropped when they called me.
I'm sure it did.
I was like, y'all got it. So what are you going to tell me happened with it?
Right.
And they told me that I can, you know, after this is all over and everything is resolved, I can get it back. And I was like, thank God. I just didn't want it on the street.
Absolutely. Yeah, they'll give it back to you out of the evidence clause. But it's the fact that someone broke into your car and took that gun from you. And then, you know, but thankfully, our law enforcement entities were able to go ahead and locate it.
Yes.
And take it back off the street. We're going to take a quick break right here, and we'll be right back. I'm here with G Smooth, with the G Smooth Experience on K92.7. We're getting to know the manly side of G Smooth, as far as caring about his community and caring about our city and caring about our young folks, and talking about a lot of recent events here, because we all know G Smooth is definitely out in the community. So we'll be right back. If you will, just hold with us for 1 second. Thank you.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back with Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I got my man G Smooth here in the studio with me.
Yo, yo.
92.7, the G Smooth Experience. How y'all? I'm auditioning for your job.
Well, listen.
Man, I wish I was as good as you, bro. I mean, you've been doing this thing 17 years.
Man, I appreciate
it. You know, you've put some time in the game. You know, people like you, we refer to you as a veteran.
You know, and that's funny to be referred to as that, because, you know, I'm not that old, and I don't consider myself a veteran because I'm constantly looking to do better. So I have to stop sometimes and realize that's when you ask me how long I've been doing, I thought about it. I say, wow, it's been 17 years.
17 years, bro.
Man.
G-Smooth, I saw you earlier this week. You and I both were out there alone making road with other people from the community. You had the K92.7 truck out there showing respect and solidarity for Miss Destiny Virgin, an 18-year-old beautiful young lady who had her life taken from her so abruptly. Now, G-Smooth, what disturbs me about this situation is, and here, this is going to be a tough conversation for me, and I'm going to tell you why this is going to be tough. This is going to be a tough conversation for me because, yes, I have my personal feelings about this, but professionally, you know, I'm a lawyer.
And I understand that.
Looking at things from a legal perspective. So I will make those distinctions so y'all will know when I'm saying things as a lawyer, when I'm talking as just personal Teddy. But she went missing. And her family members and friends, you know, were doing social media blasts, news blasts, everywhere they could. You know, we had them here at Davis Broadcasting helping get the message out. And they found her. An individual that had her in that bondage was let out of jail on bail.
Yes.
And subsequently found her again and somehow ended up on Macon Road with her running up the street, according to eyewitnesses, almost being hit by cars, trying to get help. And then this jackrabbit gets out with the gun and shoots her dead on the street.
That's what it's come to. That's what we have come to.
He was 17. Or he is 17.
There's a whole lot besides the obvious that's wrong with this case, with this situation. But for me, the first thing that comes to mind is, what went wrong in this young man's life?
Yes.
To send him there at 17.
Yes.
Secondly, if he was able to do that, somebody knew this young man has been having problems. Now, I'm not a lawyer, and I can only to say what the word on the street is. I understand speculation. So everything that I'm saying is hearsay. It is not taken as fact. But I've talked to friends of the family and family members who have said that this young man was abusive, not only to this young lady, but to other people in his own family that chose not to speak up about it. And the longer we go with these types of situations where we don't speak up and we don't call things what they are, the longer we're going to have these kinds of tragedies happening. You know, 17 years old, Teddy. Uh-huh. 17 years old. At 17 years old, I had graduated high school and I was getting ready to go to college.
Right.
I hadn't had a real girlfriend at 17 years old. I didn't know what love was. I didn't. I was green as a blade of grass. What happened for this young man to be there? And if he would, I'm telling you, you just think about what type of a mind it takes to do that in broad daylight.
In broad daylight.
If he had the type of mind that could do that in broad daylight, then I'm going to tell you this. It's not the first display of this type of behavior that he's shown.
Wow. Wow. And you know, and we have quite a few people that are asking. We have quite a few people that are asking, how did he get out on bail the first time?
You know something?
Is that something that comes to mind to you? I mean, is that something that disturbs you as well, G-Smooth?
You know, I had a conversation, and of course, I'm not going to call names, mm-hmm. but I know who his lawyer was, mm-hmm. is. And I, okay, so I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know what type of oaths you guys take. I know you hold, you take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States.
Yes, we do.
And the law, what is it, the Sixth Amendment or something
right,
like that?
Everyone has a right to counsel.
Everyone has a right to counsel, yes.
And you know, there are sometimes when people who we don't want to, as a country, we all feel like this person, like who wanted George Zimmerman to have a lawyer?
I didn't.
Who wanted the dude from Mother Emanuel in South Carolina when he went into that Bible study and shot those people up, killed all those folks in there? Who wanted him to have a lawyer? But even if they cannot afford one, the Constitution says you have the right to have one, so you have to, this government has to provide one. That's our public defender program. That's where it comes from. Because the government, the Constitution states that you have to have a lawyer.
For those proceedings inside of a court of law.
Yes.
And but it doesn't say that you have to take that case.
Doesn't say you have to take that case. That is absolutely right, G-Spoon.
And that right there.
I don't have anything to say about that there.
I know you don't, but guess what? I ain't worried about nobody coming for me. I'll say it. Whoever the lawyer was, and if he hears it, then he can come and talk to me. I'll have a conversation with him and tell him my opinion to his face. I don't have any problem with him, but all money ain't good money. And I wonder how you feel now.
You know, it reminded me of a situation where I was working with this client who had her restraining order canceled recently. And in fighting with her for that restraining order to maintain in place, I was speaking with a deputy sheriff in downtown, and he was telling me about how they don't like to play with restraining orders because they remember one time a judge dismissed a restraining order against a husband whose wife was complaining that he was very abusive, extremely aggressive, harassing her and threatening her all the time. The moment the judge dropped that restraining order, dude followed her to the mall and shot her in the head. You remember that?
I do remember that. I was here.
And this is so eerily similar to where an individual did something so aggressive as to have this woman in bondage, and that person can still get bail and get out. And you may wonder, what is the judge considering, or what does the judge take into account when setting bail? Now let's talk about the legal side of this.
Listen, man, they lock people up for child support.
Mm-hmm.
They put you in jail for not paying child support.
Right.
Take away your life for, I've seen people serve 365 days for not paying child support. But a woman who.
At that point, you're violating the order.
No, I understand that.
You're violating the order.
I do understand that. Where is the moral sensibility in what it is that we do? Let's talk about what is actually right.
Right.
What is actually harmful. Mm-hmm. It is not actually harmful directly to someone if a deadbeat father or mother doesn't pay child support. But if this person has put a person in bondage, they have done something that is egregious, that is heinous, the heinous nature of forcibly holding someone captive. They should be forcibly held captive until those charges are resolved.
Well, you know, there are about four factors that a judge look at per the Constitution and per our Supreme Court when they're determining whether or not an individual can get a bail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, really there's five steps, but the fifth step is determined upon if you get past these first four. One, they look at public protection. They look at the situation to see, you know, if the individual would be a danger to anyone else in the public, particularly the person that's been victimized or the victim's family. You know, they look at that. Then they look at your criminal record. And they determine if your criminal history is one in which you should not be released. Okay? And then they determine, are you a risk for flight? George, can you hop a plane and go to Germany or Jamaica or Australia and we never see you again?
Mm-hmm.
And then they look at the weight of the evidence. Because at your initial hearing, the DA or whoever's there at the time is going to present some type of evidence to show why you have been arrested. Based upon those things, if none of those four things are in the extreme column, you know, if you don't own a private jet and can easily get out of here, or you know, if you're only harassing one person, then you're not going to be much of a threat to anybody else. You know, the way some judges look at it, then they go to the bail schedule, which is set by the state, and the bail schedule helps determine how much the bail should be. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had a great conversation today with Mr. George McDonald, G. Smooth from K92.7. You've been listening to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and I hope you guys have a rest of your great day here on this Sunday, and I look forward to catching up with you on the other end at the beginning of October. We're going into the month of Halloween, so y'all have a good one. The views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.